together with the adjacent higher ground in Siberia and Alaska. This large area formed a now-severed continent, which the geologists often call Beringia, after the Bering Sea, and of course the Bering Strait is named after Vitus Bering, the famous Russian explorer who sailed through it in 1743. It's a nice term, and it's the only well-validated sunken continent we have. Beringia was a treeless Arctic land, with violent climate extremes and strong winter winds, all of which kept animal and human populations low. How do we know about the environment of Beringia? Portions of the ancient steppe tundra have been preserved in bogs and other circumstances where it has been possible to reconstruct them. And one thing seems quite certain. Settlement on this inhospitable land bridge may well have been very difficult indeed, and at the best sparse, until temperatures warmed after 15,000 years ago. But when the temperatures started warming at the same time, sea levels began to rise relatively rapidly, and by 9,000 years ago, the Bering Strait had come into existence, and Beringia had become a sunken continent. So this was a pretty inhospitable place. And the question is, was it inhabited at all during the late Ice Age, or immediately afterwards? We don't know. During the same period, during the late Ice Age, with its bitter cold, another fact and reality enters into the equation. Almost all of Canada and the northern part of the United States were covered with two vast ice sheets, hundreds of feet thick. These ice sheets covered the Great Lakes and extended as far south as Seattle and mantled the Rockies. At the same time, sea levels were 300 feet lower than today. Access from the north into the heart of the Americas inland was probably almost impossible for Stone Age foragers. And anyone who set sail on late Ice Age seas must have had extremely sophisticated watercraft. And we do not know whether, in fact, they had them. Probably not. I believe that the first settlement of the Americas probably happened overland. So there were the realities geographically. And it seems very likely that settlement before, at the earliest, the very late Ice Age, was probably impossible. The question then is, when did it occur, and who were the people who did it? For more than a century, scientists have pointed to the biological similarities between Northeast Asians, Siberians, and Native Americans. It's interesting that ancient Americans, such as we know them from their skeletal remains, show fewer variations in their dental morphology than Eastern Asians. They display dental features that also occur in Northeast Asia, but not to the west, not in Eurasia. Places like Mesorik, the people from there are quite different. A biological anthropologist, Christy Turner, believes that the first Americans probably ultimately originated, if you really get into the ultimate origins, in northern China or even further south in Asia. But the crucible for their origin was, of course, ultimately Siberia. Then there's another source of evidence which has come into being, and that is, in recent years, the studies of mitochondrial DNA, which we talked about at length when talking about modern humans. Studies of Native Americans suggest that all Native Americans were descended from a single, somewhat diverse group of Asians whose genetic makeup was somewhat like that of modern Mongolians. Now this fits, it's logical, because Siberia, as we said in the previous lecture, had influences culturally from the south, from the desert areas of China, and also from the west. And one would expect the people to live there to be quite a mix, but predominantly Asian. So biologically, it seems that the Native Americans ultimately came from Northeast Asia.